And producer battles, acoustic performances, all kinds of things that we're dealing with as much of the world shelters in place to help flatten the curve. Artists are turning to live broadcasts on social media platforms to continue engaging with you, with me, with fans. And for more on this, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Zach Ruskin, music, cannabis, and culture writer at Consequence of Sound. So, boy, we've had, I'm just trying to think, everyone from Andrew Lloyd Webber releasing stuff to members of Journey, John Legend, Elton John opening up their homes and offering these performances or interacting with fans. Is this changing the dynamics likely to continue when this pandemic's over?
Well, it's a fantastic question that I think a lot of people in the industry are definitely asking themselves, perhaps more than they ever had prior to everything that's happened, over the last month. And I think it's very possible that at least some part of the model will shift, although I think we're too early now to just try to figure out how that industry will ultimately be impacted. But yeah, I think so. I think there's a video opportunity here, at least as an option, if not the only one.
So what kind of performances and live streams have you caught online during this time that have impressed you?
Yeah, one that stands out, and he's gotten a bit of press probably because of the amount of streaming he's done, is the musician Ben Gibbard, who's the main singer-songwriter behind the band Death Cab for Cutie. And what's been notable about his performances is he did them for 2 weeks straight. He's up in Seattle, so he was about the first to get put on any kind of shelter-in-place or stay-at-home order. So for 2 weeks, he did roughly like a 40-minute concert. And after the first few days, he started soliciting requests, ideas for covers. He started playing certain shows that revolved around different eras of the band. And I thought all of those things were really incredibly intimate looks into a group that I already thought I knew quite well. But to see it at that kind of raw, immediate level with Ben kind of leading the way was one of the highlights of my day each day for the 2 weeks he was doing it. And now it's once a week for anyone who wants to check it out. And then on the other side of it, you know, as you've mentioned, there's been some sort of more organized efforts to bring a bunch of people together. Elton John, Billy Joe Armstrong from Oakland has been, he popped in on one of those, and he's also been putting out a new song each week. That's the front man from Green Day.
How's this benefiting these guys? Is this just sort of keeping that connection with the fans going, or are they going to try and I hate to even bring this up, but monetize this because so many of these concerts have been canceled and this is their big payday usually?
Right. I think there's going to have to be a shift in perception because a lot of the other forms of entertainment that are able to monetize streams, things that come to mind are like drag queens, video game streamers, have figured out a way in which there's actually a monetized element. Most of the music stuff I've seen, especially, you know, in the case of Ben, I know Elton John's a fundraiser. They were, instead of benefiting themselves, looking to raise funds for different organizations. Yeah. But I think right now we're at a technology precipice where we have to figure out what kind of platforms and stuff we would need in order to make that possible. But does the infrastructure exist where someone could essentially pay for the right to log in to a private or limited performance? Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's the way that artists get money, and it certainly seems like a more viable way for them than streaming, which in many cases does not produce enough income to sustain their careers.
All right, Zach, thanks for your insight and your time this morning. That is Zach Ruskin, music, cannabis, and culture writer at Consequence of Sound.